There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th, and every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
All right, so Matt, you know, when Ashley and I argue, I make sure I always get the last word in. It's usually, you're right, I'm sorry, but I get the last word in, dang it.
But it's the last word.
Yeah.
Food's good.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm not too bad.
Good
How
deal.
You doing?
Oh, surviving. It's been a crazy week, but surviving. Before we get into it, we want to say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting if you're wanting to get into it. While you're on the internet doing your thing, go check out our sponsors. You know, go over to Our last sponsor was MeUndies, so go over to MeUndies, get you some MeUndies, use our code, it'll get you a discount, and it's for dudes and ladies. Ashley just bought a whole bunch of them. She loves them too, so if you're thinking, well, I'm a lady, I can't wear these, you can. They're good.
Oh, yeah. Amanda just got a new bra from there. And Brooks just got a new pair of underwear from there.
Mm-hmm.
They both love it.
Yep,
They heard me raving about them.
Yep,
and they had to try them too. So
yep, we're becoming MeUndies families. All of us wearing them. But yeah, go check out our sponsor's website. Use our code. It helps us out tremendously. It makes sure that these companies can. We'll keep sponsoring Graveyard Tales. While you're also on the internet, after you check out MeUndies or one of our other sponsors, go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales, sign up to become a patron. We've got multiple different levels on there that you can sign up for. When we have an ad, you get ad-free audio and video episodes for our $5 and $10 levels. You get a bonus episode a week for all levels. And our $10 a month patrons, they get our newest show, Side Quest, that we're doing that is nothing like Graveyard Tales. And we're having a blast doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now is a great time to get in there and not just sponsor the show, but pick up on all that extra content.
Right.
And we're doing another one tonight.
Yep.
As soon as we get in here, we're doing another Side Quest. Absolutely hilarious. Adam just gets smashed drunk. He cussing and all kinds. No, I'm just kidding. It's a lot of fun.
The cussing's kind of true. The smash drunk, not really true. But yeah, if you were one of those people in the beginning of Graveyard Tales that goes, why don't y'all cuss? Y'all would be funnier if y'all would cuss. And we're like, well, because it's a PG-13 show, but y'all should cuss. Well, if that's your whole thing, you want to hear cussing in Southern accents, you can get that on Patreon. But, Matt, that's all I got for housekeeping today. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So tonight we are back in my home state of Tennessee. We're going to be talking about a haunted hotel in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yep.
Where one of my daughters lives.
Not at the hotel. She doesn't live in the hotel.
Yeah. But she's been to the hotel and she's had an experience there, and we're going to talk about that later. We're talking about the Reed House in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Ashley and I have stayed there too.
Yeah, you've stayed there. I'm going to tell you, I had to go down back at the end of last summer. I had to help Sarah Beth with some stuff, and Dad went with me, so I didn't have to, drive by myself, And we were going to stay the night, and I said, Dad, let's find us a room. I said, I'll get us a room somewhere. I said, hey, the Reed House is right down the road. I said, let's stay there. He's like, what's the Reed House? And I said, what's a, really nice old hotel supposed to be haunted? And he goes, I ain't staying in a haunted hotel. I said, I thought he was kidding. He's like, oh, come on, Dad. He's like, I'm not. He's like, you can stay there. I'm not staying in some haunted hotel. And Sarah Beth is in the back just dying, listening to her grandfather going, I'm not going to stay in no haunted hotel.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was like, come on. Where's your sense of adventure?
Now live a little, man. Live a little.
But it's a pretty active place.
It really is. Yeah.
And it's so cool. It is just a cool hotel. It's right down there in downtown Chattanooga. It's just, a really neat environment. It just fits in when you see it. It's like, man, that place is, I like that. You know, it's
been there forever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Been there forever. But anyway, it's got a pretty unique history too. So Adam, why don't we get into it?
All right. So as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. We got a lot this week because there's a lot to cover and a lot that we aren't going to cover. But you can see where we found all this information. You can continue the research if you're interested. Dive a little bit deeper. Down at the bottom of our show notes are all our sources. Now, the Reed House. It is called the longest continuously operating hotel in the Southeast. And it holds a spot on the National Register of Historic Places, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a hotel that does it, not all hotels do that. We talk about a lot of them that do, just because when you get into haunted stuff, you get into history, and a lot of these historic hotels are on the National Register of Historic Places, but it is kind of a prestigious thing. You got to be in business for a while. The Reed House has endured floods, Civil War, epidemics, the Great Depression, and just Chattanooga changing. Because Chattanooga has changed a ton since the original hotel was built there. It has changed a ton, and it's still changing.
Yeah, it is. It is still a growing city. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do.
I love Chattanooga.
I do too. Every time I go, I always find something new to kind of experience or get into. So, and we've been quite a bit, I got a daughter in school down there, but I remember when I was in high school, when my sister was in high school, the state summer or the spring sport state championships at the time were held in Chattanooga.
Oh, yeah.
Your baseball and softball and track and all that stuff. They were all down there. So I, spent a lot of time and it's a really cool place. If you're looking to come to Tennessee and you're thinking, Well, we've been to Nashville. Right? Check out Chattanooga.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. If you're not really into the country music downtown scene, then Chattanooga is a good place to go. Because it all the quaintness of Tennessee without the yeehaw, hillbilly, cowboy hat, and nowadays the bachelorette parties in Nashville. That you run into more of those in downtown Nashville than anything else.
Yep.
A bunch of drunk.
You got Lookout Mountain down there too, which.
In Chattanooga. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good way to get me off of the bachelorette party thing. Change the topic. All right. He knew where
I. It has gotten ridiculous.
Hadn't it? Yeah.
Oh.
The pedal taverns kill me.
Yeah.
Because you're down there trying to enjoy stuff and you almost get run over by a pedal tavern full of drunk women going, she's getting married. I'm drunk. Good for you. Keep pedaling. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Pedal tavern.
For all you single dudes that are like, hey, I'm going to go down there and crash me a bachelorette party. Yeah, you trust me.
Good luck.
You're better off just sitting put.
Yeah, just stay there. Stay at home. Find you something there. It's easier. Anyway, now the Reed House was founded in 1872, but the current 141-room building dates back to 1926. And I'll explain, because it's had some different incarnations over the years. Now, the Crutchfield family was the first to build a hotel on this spot. Now, the railroad came through Chattanooga in the late 1840s, right? So that's when they started putting the rail lines through Chattanooga, was in the 1840s. And a train station in Chattanooga meant that there was increased traffic in Chattanooga, but it also meant that there was increased revenue because they were bringing stuff in, shipping stuff out. You know, it became a hub at that point. You've got a railway and a train station there. We can ship stuff out. We can bring stuff in, which means more people coming, more money into the city, and more exports, which means more money coming in. So
yeah, more jobs,
right?
More opportunity,
right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, how these places, you know, take off.
Yep. You can't become a big town back in the day unless you had a railroad. So Chattanooga was becoming a big town. And by 1850, it found itself in the midst of a, quote, industrial revolution. Now, the Nashville and Chattanooga Railroad, so the NNC Railroad, launched in Chattanooga in 1854. Now, other branches then, you know, tacked out in the following year. So you've got the NNC, and then others started coming in and putting some rail lines in and stuff like that and growing once they saw the NNC doing well. Now, by 1857... the Memphis and Chattanooga, so the M&C was also running regularly through this. They called themselves the River City, right? So they built a name for themselves. They got several large railroad companies coming through. It's growing. So the Crutchfield family, like I mentioned before, they lived in Chattanooga for decades, you know, for generations. And they saw the growth of the town because of these railroads bringing in travelers and stuff. So they decided that they were going to capitalize on this business. So they built the first hotel on the land that the Reed House Hotel is on, and it's right across from the railroad, and they called it the Crutchfield House. So apropos, since their name is Crutchfield, but they bought this plot of land and built the first hotel, the Crutchfield House, there. Because they're like, there's money. We need to capitalize on this. Now, considering the fact that the railways at this time were the main source of business and imports, it says that the Crutchfields metaphorically struck gold by putting the hotel where they did. And I agree. I mean, it's like, now you put a hotel at an airport, you're going to get a lot of business. It's the same theory. Now, business, they say, at the old Crutchfield House prospered, but then the Civil War set in. So as the Civil War set in, there was some drama that began with Jefferson Davis. And this comes from Ghost City Tours. They had a good little blurb on the history with Jefferson Davis.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was interesting, so I got it from them. But it says the Civil War was on the brink of exploding when Davis stepped down from his position in the U.S. Senate. Now, he'd been recruited for the Confederacy. So on his way home to Mississippi, he opted to stop by the old Crutchfield House to stay the night. Now, it says that it's not known whether Davis actually launched into political talk at dinner or perhaps over brandy, but he did so regardless. And they said he spouted off about the merits of the Southern states seceding from the Union. Well, it says for the Crutchfield brothers, this was a pretty sore topic. And William Crutchfield was a firm Union supporter, unlike his brother Thomas, who Thomas was a Southern supporter. So upon hearing Davis talk, William apparently whipped around, pointed his finger at the would-be Confederate president, this says, and he called Davis a traitor and a military despot. So furious, this says, Davis demanded satisfaction in the form of a duel. I can just see that. I challenge you to a duel. How dare you? You know?
Yeah. You die in a duel.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's perhaps only in thanks to Thomas Crutchfield, this says, that neither William nor Jefferson Davis died that day, because Thomas grabbed his brother by the arm and dragged him from the room. Well, William calmed, but only a little bit. But the dispute only highlighted the differences within the state of Tennessee itself, this says. So I thought it was funny that Jefferson Davis stopped by. I mean,
oh yeah. Before he was president of the Confederacy.
Yeah, before.
He was on his way to become president of the Confederacy, yeah.
And almost got in a duel with the owner of the hotel here.
Yeah.
You military despot.
I mean, no doubt, Tennessee was a Confederate state.
Sure.
But because of where Tennessee sits in relation to the northern states, you know, there was some conflicting emotions there, because there were some people in Tennessee that were fairly well off because of the relationship they had with the northern Union states.
Sure.
So, you know, there were a lot of people that were like, look, I like the way how life is down here, but I also like money, you know, and my money comes from the north.
Right.
So don't screw this up for me.
Quit screwing this up. And that's kind of where the Crutchfield brother sat. He was making a lot of money because of people coming down on the railroad, and he didn't want that tie to be severed. But anyway, it says most historians tend to believe that William Crutchfield never actually enlisted in the fight, but that he did serve as an honorary captain for the Union at Chickamauga campaign, as well as the siege of Chattanooga. So didn't enlist, but he was an honorary captain. Now, it says after the tensions between the Crutchfield brothers, it said, we're given a little more information into their relationship thanks to a book that was written by Elizabeth Lyle Saxon, who is a close relative of the Crutchfields. And it was published in 1905, and there was an excerpt from Saxon's book that goes on to claim, quote, Will Crutchfield, to whom I have been referred, was then a major on the Union General Wilder's staff and 20 off in number of his blood relations swept up in the gray-clad ranks of the Confederacy to meet death. But he took no part in the hostilities after the first day, for the reason that he had a serious illness which lasted a week. So William Crutchfield was in the first day of the battle, and then he couldn't battle anymore because he got sick. Said, interestingly, though, the passage states, quote, years after he learned that his wife, whose sympathies were as strong for the South as his were for the Union, had drugged him heavily and so prevented him taking further part in the fratricidal strife. He wasn't sick. He got drugged.
He got drugged, so he couldn't.
Yeah. His wife, she supported the South. He supported the North. But she's like, you're not going off to die in this battle. And she drugged him.
That's it. Yeah.
And said, you're staying
home. She was saving his life.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, because the book said 20 other of his relatives died. So, yeah. I mean, she did save his life. Big mm-hmm. time. It's not like, well, maybe. No, she did. She did.
Yeah. That's pretty smart.
Yeah. It goes on to say that perhaps it was because William was only a moment away from doing unretractable harm against his brother. But following the argument between him, his brother, and Jefferson Davis, the old Crutchfield house was sold just before the Civil War broke out officially. So they had this big fight, and that was the impetus to sell the hotel. They just couldn't work together anymore, really. So it says financial prosperity, though, didn't come to the hotel's new owners because it was the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than the armies, who was making money during the Civil War?
Right, yeah.
You know, it wasn't a hotel. Nobody was traveling to this hotel. So the property actually was converted into a makeshift hospital for Union forces in 1863. And I'm not going to get into what happened during the Civil War at hospitals, because I've done that two or three times already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just go back and listen to those episodes if you want to know. But let's just say a lot of amputations, a lot of death, mm-hmm. a lot of brutal medical stuff. It was bad. So yeah. The energy on this land is bad. Now, it says for the length of the war, the Crutchfield house served only the Union troops. And so a lot of people say this is why the Reed house today is haunted. And that's like I was saying, it's during the war. I mean,
right.
During the Civil War, a lot of places we see that served as hospitals during the Civil War are haunted.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Octagon House. In Kentucky. Yep.
Sure.
I mean, it did the same thing and it's spooky as all get out.
Right. Right. Now, unfortunately, in 1867, the hotel there caught fire and it burned to the ground. Well, the owners of the time, they chose not to rebuild it because they weren't making any money off of it, you know. So the property then got passed into new hands. Now, by 1871, the city of Chattanooga was finally recovering from all the losses during the Civil War. So it was during this period that Dr. John T. Reed decided to make something of this land and what used to be the old Crutchfield house. Now, his son Samuel and him set out to build the finest hotel that Chattanooga had ever seen. And in a lot of ways, they did.
Yeah.
Over time, the Reed House Hotel became synonymous with opulence and luxury. Now, the Reed House Hotel officially opened on New Year's Day in 1872. It had, quote, terrazzo floors inlaid with marble, indoor paneling of quarter sawed walnut, carved and gilded woodwork, mirrors recessed in massive arches, and a lobby beautifully defined by its soaring columns, end quote. So it sounds pretty opulent to me.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for 1872.
Right. But, you know, those really nice, luxurious hotels, you know, in that time, you know, end of the 1800s into the 1900s, they drew the people that had the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that it wasn't just like we're here for the weary traveler,
right?
It became a destination.
Sure, sure.
You know, if you were somebody well off, a businessman or whatever, and you were going to come through Chattanooga, the Reed House was the only place you intended to stay.
Right, right.
It was the one that was going to provide the level of
luxury
accommodations that you were accustomed to.
Right, right.
So, you know, they would make these hotels with that in mind. So, and you know, this was never a Motel 6, okay?
Right.
And you know, no knock on the Motel 6, but
Hotel, you know, Motel Holiday Inn.
It wasn't for the casual passerby.
Right.
You know, it was
right.
It became a destination.
Right. The doors were on the inside of the building, not the outside. I don't know if anybody else has noticed that, but I prefer not to stay at places whose doors open to the outside.
Yeah, right.
If I'm staying at a hotel, I want them to open into a hallway that's on the inside.
Yep.
The doors that open to the outside are like the pay-by-hour motel.
not all of them.
No, but that is the perception I have and the perception I'm sticking with. So
I always feel like that I'm sleeping in a strange bed. I don't want the only thing between me and the rest of the world to be a hotel door.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
You know, that's always my thing.
Come through a couple more doors before you get to me.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you. Make it a little harder to find me amongst the rooms. I get you. Now, the problem was in 1875, the Reed House dealt with the flood that ravaged the Chattanooga area. So the Nashville Union and American reported on the 2nd of March that, quote, the water is 2 feet deep in the post office and on parts of Market Street, 4 feet run deep. A strong current is running through the Reed House Hotel, end quote. So they didn't have it up and fancy long before they had a river running through it. And that reminds me of during the flood when I lived there in Nashville, when it flooded and mm-hmm. the Opryland Hotel got flooded out. That's
yep.
Just what it reminded the sharks in the aquarium restaurant and stingrays got out. Flooded. Oh, they didn't live long because they needed, you know, better water than what was flowing through the mall there. But
right, yeah.
there were pictures of sharks and rays in the mall, which sits right next door to the hotel. So it just makes me laugh. Anyway, in 1926, the hotel was in desperate need of restoration. Well, instead of going through a whole remodel, the two architects that were put on the job decided it would be better to just demolish the hotel and start afresh. So here we go again with this is the second demolishing of the hotel. So they came up with sketches that could compete with other, quote, early 20th century models, end quote. Now, the final construction was a 10-floor Georgian-style hotel that paid homage to its predecessor. So the architects did their best to, you know, get some of the fine decor that the first Reed House Hotel had. And some pieces, though, like the massive mahogany bar, they were victims of time, and so they just never got replaced. And probably victims of the flood, too. A mahogany bar is going to warp when it's covered in a river. So, now, during the construction, they tossed a lot of things out. And the contractors just, they found these sconces in the silver ballroom area that they were redoing back into the silver ballroom. Well, they found these sconces and they thought they were wrought iron. So they're like, this isn't going to fit the motif. These are ugly wrought iron sconces. Who would have these? So they decided to throw them out. Well, a bellman named Howard Johnson had worked at the hotel for 27 years already, and he saw them and said, no, don't toss them out, just polish them. So he polished them up, and everybody saw that they weren't wrought iron. They were solid silver and had just tarnished. So apparently you can still see these in the hotel, these solid silver sconces, but the stupid construction workers just throwing stuff out because it ain't pretty.
Yep.
You know, oh, well, let's just throw this out. You know, but luckily, there was a bellman who had been there for so long, and he's like, no ding-dongs. It's corroded because of the flood. Polish them.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, solid silver sconces.
And he, that bellman went on to create his own chain of Howard Johnson.
Called the Silver Sconce Hotel. And now you know the rest of the story. Well, after all that, they recently did a new renovation to make it look more like the 1920s. And during that renovation is when Ashley and I actually stayed there. And this was when we had our experience at the hotel, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think they did, to me, they did a good job on this last renovation in bringing back that 1920s look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it 1920s opulence just had its own feel. You know,
right. Yeah.
Decorated a certain way, whatever. They did a good job from what I saw when I was there and all the sample rooms that they let us walk through. They look good.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and they apparently stirred up some stuff.
Mm-hmm. And how?
So like we said, you know, with the history of the Reed House, you can understand, and especially with the age, why there may be some spirits sticking around. And for a lot of people that stay in the Reed House, their paranormal experience is pretty standard hotel ghost experience fare. Okay.
Sure.
Cold breezes, shadow figures out of the corner of their eye, strange noises at night, you know, the typical stuff.
The fact, weird poo floating in the toilet late at night.
The ghost poop.
Yeah. What? That, or they could just have teen boys. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Two. Yeah, absolutely.
One of the two.
At what age do they understand
learn to flush?
Flush?
I don't know. It's like at one point they knew what that handle was for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they forget for a while. And then you know what I think it is? When they start having ladies over is when the teen boys start going, I remember what this handle does. It's a flusher. It makes my doo-doo go away so the ladies don't have to see it. And until then, let my parents see it. I don't care.
No, yeah.
It's just my parents.
But, completely lost track.
Well, completely derailed.
How did we get off on that?
Ghost poo.
Anyway, one guest that stayed at the Reed House reportedly came forward and claimed that an odd thing happened in the middle of the night in our room. The toilet gurgled and sounded like it was flushing when nobody was in there.
How did I know?
Ghost I joked poop. It must have been the ghost.
See? And I didn't even read Matt's notes. I knew there was a ghost poo. I knew it.
God.
I'm telepathic here.
I've just played into it now.
The rest of the episode is going to be ghost poos.
I promise you. Oh, man. What are the odds? I should have skipped that paragraph.
Yeah, for your own sanity, you probably should have.
Now, other guests have claimed to have seen ghostly soldiers roaming the halls of the hotel's fourth floor. Now, of course, the hotel served as a Civil War hospital, and Adam mentioned the residual energy that would have been left behind, the negativity, the death, and everything. So that's kind of expected.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War era spirits, or at least spirits dressed in that era, you know, in military garb, it seems common in these places right. that served as a hospital. And some have even reported seeing the reflection of a soldier in the mirrored walls of the grand ballroom. Now, other spirits have a tendency to appear in photos.
Hmm.
And hotel staff have been known to share photos showing a dark, ghostly face appearing on the wall behind a woman who was photographed in the hotel lobby. The face is said to look like Dr. John T. Reed, who, of course, rebuilt the hotel after it burned in 1867.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another photo was a selfie taken by a hotel employee in the basement. What she didn't notice until someone on social media pointed it out was the hand resting on her left shoulder.
That's creepy.
No one behind her.
That's creepy.
Now, the ghostly hand is plainly visible right down to the shockingly solid-looking fingernail.
Mm.
And supposedly, the employee was so shaken up that she had to leave work for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a selfie at work and you post it, and somebody comments and says, whose hand is that on your shoulder?
Yeah.
What?
What hand?
Now,
yep.
On TripAdvisor, I went through, and there were quite a few people sharing their experiences, and some were pretty good. This one was one of the better ones. So from TripAdvisor, it says, My son stayed there a week for a conference in Chattanooga. While he was there, I looked up the hotel and found out about the haunted stories. So I texted him and told him they were staying in a haunted hotel. So being the curious teenager he is, he explored, asked questions and such. He never believed in that stuff, but he said he was walking the halls asking for something to happen. Like calling the girl ghost fake and whatnot. He and his roommates were in bed watching TV later, and he got pinched.
Mm.
It totally freaked him out. They said there was a knock on the door at 10:30 p.m. They answered pretty quickly, and there was nobody around. He said there was no way someone could have knocked on the door and run. They would have seen them or at least heard another guest room door shut. He said he was definitely weirded out about the whole thing.
That's why you don't taunt ghosts. You're the lucky pinch. That's all you got.
I mean, the pinch.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I don't want to get pinched ever.
No.
But, you know, it would be a cool experience if you're hanging out in a hotel and you get pinched.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, whoa. You know, I mean, think about it. Think about how much energy is required for a spirit to actually pinch you.
Yeah, and you know what a pinch feels like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like, oh, I got poked by something on the bed. It's a totally different feeling. So you would know, oh, something pinched me. There's nothing here to pinch me.
Yeah.
Why did I get pinched?
And you know this kid is probably trying to figure out any way possible to explain this pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I rolled over on my phone or I did something weird.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's just nothing there. Something yep. pinched him.
Yep.
Hopefully right on the butt.
Oh, I hope. Or somewhere more painful, like right here on the underside of your arm, right close to your armpit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pinch somewhere there. That
really
hurts. Yeah.
Now, that's the majority of the hotel. But there is one spot in the Reed House that seems to have a lot more activity than anywhere else, and that is room 311.
This I tried to get this room, Matt, when we stayed there. I tried to get room 311, and when we were there, it was under construction at
yeah.
the time. So I was disappointed, and we're going to try to go back so that I can get this room.
In fact, unless it's changed, I think they only rent this room out during October.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because it's a part of the ghost tour.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they've completely redone the room, and we're going to get into that. But what I read, it was like, you know, you're not going to have a peaceful night, even if you don't have a paranormal experience, because it's still a part of the ghost tour.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah,
and you'll understand why when you hear this.
Yeah.
Room 311 is supposedly haunted by the spirit of Annalisa Netherly, who was reported murdered in the room's bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was allegedly beheaded in the bathtub by a jealous lover in 1927.
That's more than murder.
That's more than murder.
That's legitimately overkill.
Oh, yeah. But there are at least two different stories about how she met her demise.
Always are.
Some believe that Netherly was a prostitute who checked in with one lover before deciding to take up with another man staying in the hotel. Shortly after, she was found with her throat slashed in the bathtub. Others believe that Netherly and her lover were living at the hotel together when he decided to seek out the company of other women.
Mm.
Devastated after being abandoned, Netherly died of a broken heart in her room. Now,
that doesn't make your head fall off, though.
Right.
Like right. a broken heart, die, it head falls off.
That's, and that one is very, very flowery, very, oh.
Yeah.
It's the polar opposite of she was murdered, almost beheaded in the bathtub. So
you know which one's more likely?
Yeah.
The bathtub one.
And which one do you think the hotel tells?
The bathtub
the
one.
The bathtub.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, a number of guests have reported paranormal activity in this room, including unexplained noises, flickering lights, running water, shadowy figures, and more. Male guests have especially been said to have felt something watching over them and being awoken to unexplained loud noises throughout the night.
Hmm.
It also says that if a male guest is a smoker, it's even worse. Apparently, Annalisa doesn't like smokers.
Yeah, yeah.
Others have said they've even seen Netherly's spirit in the room with them. Now, it's important to note that many of the original elements from Annalisa Netherly's time remain, including a vintage clawfoot tub and an AM radio.
Hmm.
Wait. A vintage tub? Wasn't she
Could
supposedly
it be?
Found in the tub?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you keep that around?
Why not, Matt? Why not? I mean,
I'm
if you get rid of that,
it's not the same tub.
It probably is. But if you get rid of that, you might get rid of Annalisa.
True enough.
Can't get rid of Annalisa. So,
you know, I doubt very seriously she's tied to the AM radio.
Right. Right. I have
Look,
a big
well, let's
fan
keep
of radio.
This tub.
Yep. I was a big fan of radio in my day, so you know, I haunt this radio.
Like, wasn't somebody murdered in this tub? Yeah.
Well, have a nice bubble bath.
All right.
Enjoy your relaxing bubble bath.
Oh, man. Can you, what if they put like red dye, like a little red dye capsule up in thing? Like when a new guest checks in and somebody goes, I wonder if this tub really works. The water turns on in this tub. And then as they're watching it, it just, that capsule dissolves
mm-hmm.
and it.
Oh! Yeah. Or if they did like the luminol stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Where made it.
Lights up like a glow stick.
Mm-hmm. You turn on the light in the bathroom and they've got a black light in that socket. And then it's just luminol everywhere.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I have a black light flashlight. I think you've got one too.
Oh yeah.
Just if you're gonna go stay in a hotel, leave that at home.
Yeah, don't do that in a hotel, especially the ones whose doors open to the outside.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I don't want to know what I'm sleeping on if I can't see it.
And don't shine it on the outside of that door.
No.
Find out what the other guests are doing outside
mm-hmm.
your door.
Mm-hmm. Hey, now, how did they get to the top of the door frame? That's impressive. It's on the ceiling. What happened in here?
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, some guests have reported a feeling that they describe as weighty oppression in the room. Like just this heaviness.
Yeah.
Shadows on the wall where there shouldn't be shadows, or being touched or poked while asleep in the bed.
Hmm.
Of course, knocks on the door, and when open, there's no one there. And some guests reportedly have left the room in the middle of the night because they were so unnerved.
Yeah, you know, I've said this before, Matt, but I can handle a lot of ghostly stuff. But don't mess with me while I'm asleep.
Yeah.
You know, do it when I'm awake or something. If I'm asleep, I don't want you, ghost or not, coming in there going, ooh, poking me. Or, I mean, I get freaked out and upset when Michael wakes me up in the middle of the night. I don't need, like, some ghost kid that I'm not related to coming in there or some ghost woman. You know, that got murdered in my room, poking me awake. I don't need that.
Now, I found this little clip, this little snippet. It was like one of those little sidebar things. And I thought, this is really cool. This is perfect. It says, during the renovations of the historic Reed House Hotel, Avocet Hospitality, the hotel's ownership group, reported, quote, a few hiccups in the construction process in room 311. Though company officials will not confirm any paranormal activity, there were several incidents in the room that gave them pause. For instance, two pipes in the room randomly burst in the middle of the night, a plumbing mishap that did not happen in any other area of the hotel. Perhaps the most striking incident occurred when the construction crews were scheduled to demolish room 311, but couldn't open the door by using a key or manual force.
Hmm.
They eventually had to cut the door in half with a saw to gain access.
Jeez.
And here's a quote from Jonathan White's, who's the owner and president of Avocet Hospitality Group. He says, I'm not a huge believer in spirits or ghosts, but when we started the demolition, we were able to open every other door in the hotel except room 311.
Hmm.
So how do you explain that?
Right.
He said, right. It feels as if Annalisa was forcing the door shut in fear we were going to demolish her room. But Avocet Hospitality redid room 311 in furnishings reminiscent of the 1920s to complement the room's most storied era.
Yeah.
I love those kind of stories, especially mm-hmm. when we're talking about you know, a corporate president who is saying, look, I don't believe in this crap. I got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm That's running a hotel. This yeah. is business. This is money. This is yeah. what we had to do to get in there.
Yeah. That's the thing for me is they were not looking for it. They weren't out trying to find it. They weren't preoccupied with thoughts of it, and it still happened. So it adds a little more validity to me than somebody who's dwelling on, oh, this room is haunted. I bet something's going to happen. And then they might misinterpret something and put it as paranormal because they want it to happen. This guy, these people, they weren't even thinking about it. They were just, I need to fix this room. And then it happened. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, when the renovations on room 311 were complete, an Atlanta couple was the first to stay the night. The couple, Sheba and Tripp Gorman, paid $666 for their special accommodations that night in 2021. Both of them said they didn't believe in ghosts, but that was about to change.
Hmm.
Sheba says, I did get a very heavy, kind of sad feeling from this place. The couple says it was a sleepless night in room 311, hearing voices, the sound of scratching, and even getting touched. Tripp recalls, she said, I feel something grabbing my wrist, and then it happened, and then it stopped. Hmm. So something grabbed Sheba's wrist and then just yeah. let go.
Weird.
The couple says they felt something pushing against the bed. They believe it was the ghost of Annalisa Netherly. I just kept seeing things move in the corner of my eye, said Sheba. Tripp said he had just left the living room, and when he came back, drawers were wide open. He said, I stop and look, and I'm like, wait. And I run back in, and I'm like, baby, are you messing with me? And I slid it back in, but oh my God, I was shaking for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. yeah.
And yeah. that's another common occurrence is drawers and stuff opening. You know, you leave the room, come back, and there's a drawer open. I found another story on TripAdvisor. The guy said he had gotten there and he just put his suitcase down and went down to the restaurant to get something to eat. He didn't unpack nothing. When he came back, all the closet doors were open, cabinet doors were open, all this stuff. He was like, I didn't do any of this because I didn't yeah. unpack yet.
Yeah, that's weird.
Said the Gorman said, if they don't believe in ghosts, they do now. Now, there's another Chattanooga urban legend that's attached to room 311. And it's one that includes the famous gangster Al Capone. Now, Al Capone apparently requested to stay in room 311 during his federal trial. And as the story goes, Capone paid for them to put security bars on the windows so that it would meet the standards for holding a federal prisoner.
Mm.
Now, the bars were removed during the renovation of 2004, but there are photographs of the bars when they were there. So that's kind of crazy that
yeah.
Capone wanted to stay there and wanted to stay in that room. There's no record that he had any kind of paranormal experience. But, you know, specifically requested that room and actually paid the money so that he could. Now, as I said at the beginning, my daughter lives in Chattanooga. She goes to school down there. But she had an experience. This was just a few months ago. So she called me and said that one of her friends had their birthday was coming up. And this friend, the friend's mom, had gotten them a room at the Reed House on like a Saturday night or Friday night.
That's cool.
And so they could kind of have a little get together because she wasn't going to be there for her actual birthday. So, you know, her group of friends, they went, and I told her, I said, you know, the Reed House is haunted. And she was like, oh, I know. She's like, I've been reading about it all day. So she's like, we're totally taking the ghost tour tonight. So it was late. It was after midnight because she messaged me while she was on the tour. And I remember it coming through like at 11:30. And that was here. So I was an hour ahead in Chattanooga. Yeah. But she said while they were on the tour, they were... The tour guide was telling a story, and there was a woman in their tour group who was taking pictures on her phone and said she was just kind of snapping away, you know, at this one area. And then she's looking at the pictures. And Sarah Beth said she was right there with her and looked at the picture too. And there was a little girl in the picture that was not there.
That's weird.
Yeah. She said you could see it just as plain as day. There was a little girl in like old style clothing standing in this corner. And she goes, there were no kids on this tour. She's like, there were no kids around at all. She was like, so where did this little kid come from?
That's weird.
And I was like, that, I said, Sarah Beth, that is a super cool story.
Yeah.
You know, and she was so excited. That's why she had to text me the story in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Adam, you said you and Ashley have stayed here.
Yep.
And you guys had a little bit of a weird experience too, right?
Yeah, we did. I've been trying to figure out, I forgot to ask Ashley. It was either 2017 or 2018 that we stayed there. And to give a little backstory to it, I was still living in Tennessee. It was before Ash and I got married. We hadn't been dating that long, you know. Well, she was coming up for a weekend. And our plan was, we had already figured out the plan. She was going to fly in. I was going to leave work and pick her up. And then grab bags from my house, head to Chattanooga, right? So we were going to get there that night, Friday night, stay the weekend, a couple days, come back. Well, a few hours before getting off work, I apparently started showing signs of a stomach bug. I was, you know, out of both ends kind of thing. Well, new relationship, I'm not going to sit it out just because I'm going to tell her I'm sick, but I'm not going to not go on the trip. Right.
Right.
So we get there and I say that because that kept us from doing like the investigation part of it. Cause when we were at the hotel, I just wanted to lay, you know, and deal with an upset stomach and all that. But we went out and did a few things. When we first got to the hotel, we noticed that half of it, they had shut down for the renovations. And so we could only get rooms in one half. 311 was over in the renovation room. So we couldn't get over there to stay. And I guess, like you said, it's only during special times now. So I probably can't again, but, we got a room. We went out and did some things. And we came back to the room and we were hanging out, kind of sitting there on the bed, eating, and was about to go shower. And Ashley's standing, looking out the window. And the only thing on the other side of the window is the part of the hotel that is shut down for renovation, right? Well, this was Saturday night. Nobody was working over there.
Right.
You know, it was after quitting time anyway, and it was the weekend. So there were no guests over there. There were no hotel employees over there, and there were no construction workers over there. And all of a sudden she goes, babe, 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 babe. And I kind of sit up. I'm like, what? And she goes, somebody is over there. I said, there can't be anybody over there. So I go over to the window and I'm standing next to her and she points out the room. It's directly across from our window. And we can see multiple windows, right? But she said, it's that room right there. And I'm standing there watching. And sure enough, a black figure moves from like the far end of the room. You can see it kind of move through the room and then pass in front of the window. And then it's gone. So apparently that happened twice because she saw it before I saw it.
Yeah.
She saw it twice. I saw it once. But there was nobody over there.
Yeah.
But there's a shadow figure moving around on that side while they're renovating it. And it makes sense from everything we know about renovations messing up the flow of, you know, ghost activity and all that. It stirs them up a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Change. Then, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you essentially create a giant liminal space.
Right.
When
right.
you, because everything is in transition.
Yep.
And, you know, that just, it prompts. Plus, there's always the idea that sometimes these spirits are stuck and they don't really understand that they're spirits. And
yeah.
all of a sudden, there's somebody in there tearing up their living space.
Mm-hmm.
I say air quotes, living space, you know.
Yeah. They're unliving space.
so it ramps up activity because it stirs them up. And how many times have we talked about places that while renovations were going on, problems occurred?
Yeah.
You know, tools went missing, stuff got torn up, you know, paint buckets were spilled, you know. Things that you would think, oh, well, that's just routine, you know, stuff happens. But, you know, when you hear these workers going, listen, you know, I was working down in this room. I was by myself. There was nobody else. And I kept hearing stuff. You know, I left, come back, you know, all my stuff's gone or it's moved mm-hmm. or it's unplugged or nothing works. So,
right.
I mean, There are just stories upon stories upon stories of that exact thing. So it would make sense that you guys could have caught something while that part of the hotel was in transition.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just cool that, you know, it happened and we weren't even looking for it. Like, there was no way in my physical state that after a day of doing stuff, I was going to go romp the halls of this hotel
right.
with a multimeter or digital recorder, you know.
Multimeter says I need to go back to the bathroom.
Yeah. Multimeter says you's about to poop. That's probably not a good sign. So yeah, it we were just hanging out in the room and saw it. And so I really want to get back there, you know, without a stomach bug.
Yeah.
And actually be able to enjoy the haunted part of it. Maybe go do a haunted tour or something.
So I do too. I've not had the opportunity to stay there. Next time I go, I'll leave Dad at home.
There you go.
So we could stay in the Reed house.
That way he's not a killjoy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, let's face it. Dad's house is haunted as it is. He don't want to go out of town and deal with that crap too. I guess
point.
I can't blame him. He has to deal with enough at home.
Now you can blame him a little bit.
They didn't have to take it away from me, but, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
I'm like, come on, Dad. I could find something out for the show. He's like,
do it for your boy.
Goes,
come on, do it for your boy.
You can stay there. We wound up staying across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a nice hotel that was across the street, so mm-hmm. we wound up staying there. You know, it all
I don't remember out. What the name is, but I do remember there's one over
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what it was either. I just remember everything was black and gold. The whole
yeah,
motif
yep.
is black and gold.
Mm-hmm. We need to also, while I'm thinking about it, there's several Chattanooga haunt haunted hotels.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them, they turned that train station into a hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And that place is supposedly pretty haunted.
The,
so
the Chattanooga Choo Choo, which I have stayed in many times.
I've toured it, but I've not stayed in it.
It is supposedly haunted. I have not had any kind of experience there. Amanda and I stayed there. It was probably back in 2015 or something. I think you guys were down there at the same time.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, we didn't have any experience. The only spirits we saw that weekend were the liquid kind.
Right.
I do remember that. but no, we've got a lot of people who have over the years have mentioned to us that we should look into doing the Reed House. I'm kind of glad that we waited until now, because a lot of the information that I got came after the renovations that occurred when you and Ashley were there.
Yep.
And like room 311 didn't reopen for guests until 2021. So if we had done this early on, we would have missed, you know, those experiences. So I'm glad that we waited, but I know we've got other people, other listeners that have stayed there or have, you know, experiences there or live in that area. I mean, you know, my kid lives down the street from it. Let us know if you've had an experience there, if you know someone who has. You know, drop us a message. Tell us the story. And the best place to do that is in our Facebook group. Our Facebook group is called The Graveyard. It is loaded with people sharing personal experiences, asking for help with paranormal issues, sharing jokes and stuff. It's just a really great group. So if you're not already in it, jump in there. You'll be amazed at some of the stories that you find. Don't forget to check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. There you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show and you can become a patron. You know, don't forget, jump in there. Listen to that back catalog we've got of bonus episodes. You can get the videos, you can get ad-free, and you get, for the $10 members, you get access to the new show Side Quest, which I promise you're going to love it. I mean, it is absolutely hilarious. We have a great time with it. We have special guests on. It's totally different from anything Adam and I've done. So be sure and check it out. All right, man. This was a good one.
Yeah.
This place is, I love that it's haunted and I love that it's close enough to me. And, you know, I've actually got a family member that has stayed there and had an experience. So
I love places that I've been to that are haunted that we can talk about.
Absolutely. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.